When Elizabeth Catkin and her husband decided to have children, they started on a quest that took 9 years and multiple medical procedures. They did end up with two healthy children, but on the way, Elizabeth Catkin realised how little she knew about infertility. So she started to do some research and investigate. Now she shares the results in a new book that's part memoir and part how-to manual for others also looking for answers. It's called Conceivability: What I Learned Exploring the Frontiers of Fertility. Elizabeth Catkin joins us to talk about it. And Elizabeth, reading the book, it sounds as though you had to get pregnant by any means.
Well, I definitely didn't start out as a person who felt like, oh, I have to have a baby no matter what. Part of what happened to me is that I did get pregnant and things kept going wrong. And I was a little bit like a dog with a bone. I mean, it was a science project for me. No one could explain why I couldn't get pregnant easily. And more than that, no one could explain why I kept miscarrying. So each time I would get pregnant and then I would miscarry, I would think, well, I just got pregnant. I can do it again. And I just sort of kept trying. It was like, you know, a hamster in a habit trail and you can't get out.
You make a list in the introduction to the book, which gives people a sense of how difficult your journey to being a mom actually was. Can you recite the list?
Wow. Let's see. It's quite a list. I had 7 miscarriages. I did IVF 10 times. That was 8 fresh IVF cycles and 2 frozen. I had 5 natural pregnancies. So that natural was without assistance at all. 4 IVF pregnancies. I saw 10 doctors, 4 of whom insisted I give up trying. In 6 countries, I worked with 2 potential surrogates. It took us 9 years. My husband and I spent close to $200,000.
That's just extraordinary to listen to that. One of the things you did was that you shopped around. You didn't say, I'm just going to stay in my state. I'm just going to stay in the US. I'm going to look to see who can help me.
Yes.
Can you explain that?
You know, I was very lucky. I had a benefit a lot of women and couples don't have, which is that my job took me overseas for nearly a decade, and I had the opportunity to live in different countries. I first was living in London and seeing doctors in London and also traveling back to the U.S. I think like many people, I stuck with what's familiar. And like many Americans, we're kind of trained to think that the medical care here is likely to be the best or as good as anywhere else in the world. So I was living in Europe and traveling back to the States. And after several years of frustration and failure, it was actually some clients. I had a wonderful client based in Geneva who had 3 children. And she was saying, why don't you come to Geneva and talk to the doctors here? And so it sounds a little extravagant that I traveled to so many countries. I lived in London and Moscow and Dubai throughout all the years of this treatment. And because I was living overseas, I really had the opportunity to learn a lot about how other countries viewed the problem.
Where did you find was the most affordable place to have IVF? I could only actually ask that question to you because you traveled so far. It's a bit like you shopped around Europe and you found what?
I actually found, much to my shock, true shock, that not only the most affordable, but in, you know, largely the most effective was in Russia. So my son was conceived at an IVF clinic in Moscow. We did IVF and something called genetic testing, which is adds a couple $1,000 in the U.S. to the process. And our total bill for the cycle that produced my son was about $3,000, which was close to a tenth of what that would have cost in the U.S.
Some advice that you give readers in the book is gaming the system.
Yes. Recent statistics have shown that the average couple to actually have a baby spends between $60,000 and $70,000 in the U.S. So, you know, I really tried to give some very practical tips financially for what people can do.
Give us one. What's one practical tip?
Well, I'm happy to give you several. One which I didn't learn till very late in the process was that a lot of insurance that won't cover IVF or reproductive procedures will actually cover the tests that will help you figure out what's wrong. And those tests themselves can be very expensive. So one woman, for example, Rose, who I interviewed, who'd spent loads of money and had gone through 3 cycles and she'd spent about $70,000 and still didn't know her problems, learned that having her regular OBGYN order diagnostic tests was fully covered by her insurance, while those exact same tests were denied with a fertility clinic because if it was seen as fertility, it wasn't treated. But if it was seen as diagnosing a gynecological problem, that was covered. So really simple tricks like that, like getting as many tests covered by insurance as you can, or if you work in the right sector, switching jobs. I spoke extensively with a woman named Rachel who's in IT, and she figured out that if she got a job at Apple, all of her infertility would be covered. So she switched companies and picked up insurance. And traveling, you know, traveling is a big one, whether that's U.S. or domestic. I spoke with a couple who were from Boston originally, but had their entire professional lives been outside of Massachusetts, and they decided to move back home to Massachusetts where their IVF would be covered, and they have a healthy daughter now. And similarly, you know, traveling to places like Spain, Prague, Russia, there's a host of countries with fabulous IVF programs with very high success rates and much lower costs.
Elizabeth, what about your own body? If you feel that you are not getting pregnant for who knows what reason, what can you do?
Rest is important. Nutrition's important. Getting the right vitamins is important. I mean, there's loads of research now that shows that certain B vitamins, B6 and 12, and omega-3 and CoQ10, they have really important impacts on egg development and egg quality. And egg quality is something I think we really don't focus on enough in this country. That's probably the single most important element I learned in all of my travels to all of these countries, was how much other countries are focused on the quality of eggs over the quantity. And in the U.S., for the most part, many of the doctors and clinics I encountered are focused on the quantity. You know, I think in the U.S. in general, with everything, more is better. But with fertility, is more really better? It only takes one egg to get pregnant. And so getting the healthiest egg possible is a really key part of the process. And that can be things like food, you know, eliminating, you know, plastics with BPA. We've all heard a lot about how BPA is bad. And also really talking to your doctor about the level of hormones. That was my probably single most shocking moment in the fertility journey, was to learn that a lot of the high levels of hormones I'd been injecting through rounds and rounds of IVF may have actually been damaging my eggs, which explained in part why I kept getting pregnant and kept losing them.
Listening to this, Elizabeth, I'm sure some people will be thinking, why didn't Elizabeth decide to adopt? It would seem so much more straightforward and potentially cheaper.
Well, we actually looked at that as well. We went through the adoption process. We were living in the UK at the time, and it's quite an extensive process. Frustratingly, to us, about a year into the process, we were looking at adopting from Russia. Russia closed adoptions to Americans, so that wasn't an option. And I think also, as I said before, because I kept getting pregnant, I just kept feeling like we could have a baby. And I was so frustrated by that. So we were really pursuing everything at once, and our attitude was, whichever works is great with us.
If there's a family listening, a couple listening, and they're trying to get pregnant and it's not working, what would you tell them?
I would tell them that the most important thing is to really take control of the situation. You know, knowledge is power. And what I found in my own experience, and I interviewed dozens and dozens of women and couples and gay and straight couples, is that most people who were successful had like an aha moment. You know, this moment where they realized that they can't just be funneled through the system and they have to take charge. It's asking the right questions and not being afraid to keep asking questions until you understand the answer. So like, what exactly is my problem? Why do you think this protocol is going to work for me? That sounds quite simple, but really forcing the doctor to look at you and not pick one or two protocols off the shelf. A lot of problems are solvable, but it takes a lot of thought and brain power to get to the right solution. And you have to be a proactive part of your own care.
Elizabeth Catkin's new book is called Conceivability: What I Learned Exploring the Frontiers of Fertility. Elizabeth, thank you.
Thank you very much, Femi.